Anna here with something for you if you want to publish an authority building book, but are still in the beginning stages of building your business. It's a do-it-yourself opportunity to get what we provide for our $100,000 clients for literally 1/20th of the price. For more information, go to legacylaunchpadpub.com/personal-publishing. That's legacylaunchpadpub.com/personal-publishing. Now back to the show.
I'm Anna David, and I interview actors, writers, musicians, and other creatives about addiction, recovery, and sharing their dark to find their light.
Well, I think that all my heroes were drug addicts.
This podcast features both the interviews and the stories. The interviews often share the dark. The stories often share the light.
Oh, yes. I had 8 bundt cakes while watching 35 Forensic Files, but I did not drink.
Are you a light hustler? Keep listening to find out.
And I was like, really? Like, that's it? That's what I am? I'm just bad at being uncomfortable? So simple, and it also makes me feel like such a dick.
Hi, guys. This is Anna David. I'm the host of this very podcast that you're listening to. It's called Light Hustler. It's about addiction recovery and sharing your dark to find your light. Sometimes it is live interviews. Sometimes it is people telling stories from a live storytelling show that I host in Los Angeles. And this is one of those latter ones. So I have a very funny episode for you today, but I also have some very exciting news, which is today is the release of a new book of mine. It's called How to Get Successful by Fucking Up Your Life. And I'm so excited about it. Truly, truly, because I've written some books that are shitty, honestly. This one's good. You can pick it up by going to howtogetsuccessful.com. It's not an expensive book. It's not a long book. It would mean so much to me if you went and got it. And with that, I'm going to stop talking and I'm going to give you the very, very, very funny Matt Lieb.
I am going to bring up your next performer. He's an old friend of mine. I've known him for about 10 years or so. You might have seen him on Viceland. What were you on? Like that Flophouse show, right? Yeah. The comedy show Flophouse. It's pretty good. He did a really killer job on it. Please welcome Matt Lieb.
Keep it going for Bucky Sinister. And thank you, Bucky, for specifying that Flophouse is a comedy show, because it sounds just like a junky documentary that I was in. Give it up one more time for Anna. Let her hear it, everyone. Yeah, no, thank you for putting on the show. I love the shirt, Living the Dream. That's what this is. I'm living my dream. This is it. Skip Town Playhouse. Ever since I was a kid, I was like, one day I'll perform for other addicts. That's what I've always wanted to do, is living their dream in this room tonight. All right, I should not have asked that question. Holy shit. Somebody just looked at me like I'm not even doing what I want to do with my night right now, dude. It is hard to live the dream. It really is. I used to work at desk jobs that I hated for like a long time, and the whole time I was doing them, I was like, I just actually want to be a comedian. That's all I want to do, is be a comedian. So I took action. This is true. About 3 years ago, I quit my job, everyone. Yeah, thank you. I did it. Quit my job. And now I have 3 fucking jobs. So I kill me. no, but I'm fine. I'm sober now, 9 years. 9 years sober, which is very fun. I know Bucky from San Francisco. Where I lived in the Haight-Ashbury district there, which has a lot of homeless hippie kids, which are the fucking worst. I don't know if you guys have experienced homeless hippies or were them, but when you live amongst them, it's like I used to have, what do you call it, empathy. You lose that real fast living around a drum circle every day. Real fucking fast. It's just like, it was like living inside of a Phish concert. That's what it was like. Literal hell. Homeless hippie kids are actually the most, like, I don't know, they're like the most hostile and chill human beings you'll ever meet in your life. They have like weaponized chillness. Like I was running towards a bus one time, and that's already like, you know, that's a sad, don't interrupt someone while they're running towards a bus. And this dude was like, oh, sir, man, you dropped something, dude. And I was new in town. I was like, what did I drop? He's like, you dropped your smile. He said that to my fucking face, dude. Like, it was the most hostile thing I had ever heard. Because you can't dispute it. No, I didn't. Like, I was so mad. I was like, oh, did I drop? Is that my fucking smile? Is that my, like, never gonna smile again out of spite, man. I don't know. But I don't know. It's weird. I have resentment against them, but it's like, love them or hate them. At the end of the day, you know, you can't really judge them because at the end of the day, they're just doing what they love, which is heroin. And I like doing stand-up comedy, but at the end of the day, I'm not doing what I love, which is heroin. Who likes heroin in this room? I loved it. I love being able to talk about it on stage without people like tightening up immediately. Like, I swear to God, every show I like want to talk about it on stage, but people are like, yeah, and I'm like, relax, all right? Try some heroin. Really takes the edge off. No. It's weird, though, because you can go on stage and, like, talk about habitually smoking weed, and that is, like, celebrated in the comedy community. And not just that, in the entire world, our culture is, like, pro-weed. And, you know, there's, like, songs about it. Like, you guys know the song The Next Episode by Dr. Dre. The very end, Nate Dogg sings that very famous hook where he's like, hey, smoke weed every day. Yeah, I love that song. I love the message. But, like, what's the IV drug user's version of that song, man? I think we need our own version. I think it's like, hey. I got hepatitis C. Like, it's a lot sadder. No one wants to hear it at a party, but it's real as fuck, you know? It's real as fuck. I don't really, but could I? Maybe. No, I just hate weed. I don't like weed. I hated weed. I smoked it, but I hated it the whole time. Weed is way worse than heroin. Hear me out. Weed would make me feel bad. I would smoke weed and I'd feel terrible. I would like, you know that feeling where you smoke it and you feel like really introspective in this very negative way. You're like, oh, my life is falling apart. And yeah, some of that was the heroin, but it was but it was also the weed. The weed would make me think about it. And like, you have to put that into perspective. You know, it's like I've stolen morphine from a sick man's medicine cabinet and felt nothing. But eating a weed cookie is the only time I ever said to myself, man, I gotta get my shit together, dude. I gotta read more books, dude. There's so many books. Like, that's the shit I would worry about. Like, every week the New Yorker comes, I'll read now one of them. I didn't know it was a weekly magazine. Who could even write that much? Like, I'd have to take heroin to calm down from the weed. That's how strong. I'd take care of it, be like, man, fuck reading, fuck books. I'll write my own book, and I'll call it My Struggle. It'll be about my struggles and shit. Yeah, I got 50 pages into a memoir called My Struggle without realizing that's Mein Kampf, dude. You can't write Mein Kampf. In German, that's what it translates to. And as a Jew, that's against the law. I tell you about the last time that I used my drug of choice, which at that point was Dilaudid. That was my drug of choice. And so basically, you know how everything just falls apart? You guys know? You guys feel me? Who feels me? You know when your life falls apart? I love this crowd. This is the best. You guys get me. So basically, I'm forced to move back in with my family because my best friend called and said, this guy is a junkie, he's a drug addict, and he's, you know, his life is falling apart. Which at the time, like, snitch. That's all I could think. Like, fuck that. Fuck that snitch forever and forever. But now I love him. But snitch. So my snitch-ass friend snitched on me. And then So I had to move back. I flew back down. I was living in Oakland at the time, flew back down to LA, but I didn't want, because I grew up here. This is where I'm from. But I didn't want to travel with like a rig or anything like that. I didn't want to have a needle because I was worried that, you know, TSA would see and whatnot. But I still had some Dilaudid left with me. And I was like, well, I'm not going to just throw it away. You know, I'm back at my family home. And I'm like, well, I got to use it. But I really didn't like swallowing pills. So I was like, anything but swallowing it. So I was like, I have to find something. You know, maybe I can MacGyver something. You know, I can figure something out. I'm in my parents' house, you know. I'm like, I'm going to be able to figure this out. They got something around here. So I'm just looking everywhere. I check the bathroom. You know, I check, like, the fucking utility room. I check the kitchen. So I'm going through the kitchen. And I'm looking. And then I find, what do you call it, turkey baster. Right. See, because what I remembered was you can also put drugs in your butt is what I remembered. And I was like, am I really going to do this right now? I'm at a crossroads in my life, you know, like, should I? And then I waited like 30 minutes and then I started getting dope sick. And I was like, fuck yeah, you should do it. You should do it right now. You got to do it. So I go, I sneak off with the turkey baster, slide back into my childhood bedroom. By the way, my mom kept my room exactly as I left it when I was 18 years old. Like I was a fucking sailor lost at sea. Like, surely he's going to come back one day for this mint condition Korn poster. He loves the band Korn, and he'll always love the band Korn. I don't know why I gave her an Irish accent, but... So I go back into my... into my room and lock the door, and I got the turkey baster, and I just, I get naked. First, I have just my pants off, and I was like, well, this is fucking weird. I can't just have my pants off. Like, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this right. So I get completely naked, and I get into, in yoga, what's known as the halasana position. It's basically legs over the head, butthole to the Lord, and and you know, I got the I put it, you know, I put it in water and I put it in the thing and go and just let it kind of drip down. And it was one of those things where as soon as it hit me, you know, I started laughing like hysterically. Not just because, like, I was, like, high or anything like that. Not just because, you know, it was funny because, yeah, you got something in your butt. But it was because I realized at that time, holy shit, I'm literally hitting bottom right now. And that ended up being the last time I ever used. Because I was like, you can't really top this right now. And then, yeah, I took the turkey baster and... put it in the dishwasher. All right, guys, I've been Matt Lee.